Good morning, and welcome to part three of our sermon series titled Election Preparation. During week one, we began our series under the scripture found in the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, the first verse, that tells us that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. This scripture was the foundation of our theme, pray. During our journey together, we acknowledged that people across this nation will be going and making their choices known for whom he or she would like to see be the next president and vice president of the United States of America, our current republic. We also acknowledged that many people have already made their choices known by way of early voting. And while the results of this election will determine many things for many people, we also acknowledge that as the body of Christ, our choice is one that is of a greater focus, a greater conversation, and yes, a greater choice, the choice of eternal life here on earth as it is in heaven. Our journey also included us recognizing the importance of loving and praying for one another. For in the words of Colossians, the third chapter, the 12th through the 14th verses, we were reminded of these precious words. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And as such, we sought the answer to several questions as we find ourselves in the midst of this 2020 pandemic. And that is, what would God have us do as we continue to navigate the uncertainties in our lives? Friends, God already knows that we have differences of opinion among us. And yet, as God's chosen people, we are not called to be divisive, hurtful, or unloving. We are called to live together as members, as citizens of the kingdom. We take time out to pray, to engage in our personal relationship and yearning to be more like Jesus when looking for ways of how to continue to be the body of Christ. For Jesus saw all the people all the time, and he did not lose heart or focus in the midst of all that was taking place around him. On last Sunday, Pastor Andrew shared with us our second theme of the series, Hurting People. He drew our attention to the words of Jesus as found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 35th through the 38th verses, which reads, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. This passage called our attention to three things. First, God created us with a purpose in mind. Second, Jesus did not lose sight of his purpose, his mission, regardless of what was taking place around him, and remained focused on the people. Third, Jesus reiterated the importance and the need to pray to the one who could provide the laborers for the harvest. The questions that came to mind were, when we are in the midst of being laborers in the harvest, are we seeing the people? Are we seeing those who are hurting? Are we seeing those who are mourning? Are we seeing those who are hopeless? Are we continuing to fulfill our mission? Jesus understood that his mission was to come and to serve and not be served. My friends, it is when we look inward that we have a tendency to lose our focus, to become disheartened, and sometimes forget to pray to the one who is able to provide for us. Jesus spent his entire life observing and serving people. And he spent 3 years teaching the disciples and others the importance of being servants of God. Today, I invite you to journey with me as we continue our sermon series under this morning's theme, Citizens of the Kingdom. The process of identity for you and I begins at the time of our birth, starting with whether we were born a boy or a girl. This process of identification very often occurs when we are unaware of it, or whether or not we want to really be a part of it or not. For example, people have a tendency to identify individuals as whether they are attractive or unattractive, whether they are rich or poor, sickly or healthy, educated or uneducated, a jock or a nerd. As life continues, there are times when you and I make decisions to be identified as members or participants of a particular organization or group, either by way of default, acceptance, or commitment. The same was true in Jesus' day. However, Jesus did not allow himself to be lost in identification according to the world's process. So much so that Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" For Jesus understood it was more important for him to fulfill his purpose and his mission here on earth, that others would have an opportunity to make a choice of eternal life, a choice of citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. There are those who do make important choices throughout their life to be identified as citizens. For example, annually, there are individuals who come from various countries to live in our country, to be a part of a better life. And so they make a conscious decision to learn the important facts about our country, as well as what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America. An intentional choice.
There are also those of us who have made other choices and other decisions to be a part of other communities, education systems, faith communities, political parties, fraternities, sororities, Masonic organizations. All of these we played a role in. However, church, if we're honest about it, part of that also includes our identification as a member of Bethany United Methodist Church. However, that identity is part of the journey for those of us who have decided to be followers of Jesus Christ, to make our identity known by our fulfilling of our purpose and our mission in life. Our greater identity is found in the book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 17th through the 21st, Philippians 3, 17 through 21. And I'd like to use the Message translation this morning, which reads, "Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those who you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods, little g, and belches their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him." Church, we are called to be citizens of heaven. As citizens of heaven, we do not put our focus on earthly things, but on those things that are above. We put our focus on doing the things that Jesus has taught and left us through Scripture, as well as being observers of the people and attending to the need of the people who are around us. Yes, I know it can be discouraging when we look around and see how vast the harvest is, and at times how few the laborers are. However, Pastor Andrew also reminded us on last Sunday that people will know who we are by the way that we love. When we keep Jesus as our center and we remember to pray to the King of the harvest, and we continue to maintain our focus on our mission and not lose heart, then we will be those who will reap the harvest of our citizenship in heaven. For when we attend to the brokenhearted, we have the opportunity to share love like never before, as people continue to discern when will the pandemic of 2020 end. We do not know But we do know who is available to us, not only today, but tomorrow. We do know that we are precious in God's sight, and we are called to clothe ourselves in love, to be gentle-hearted, to show kindness, to show mercy, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. For our choice of eternal life begins with us now here on earth. And so I believe that as we are called to pray, as we are called to fulfill our purpose, I believe that we are also called to proceed on the journey put before us to confirm and affirm the promises of God that we will receive our reward as citizens of heaven. Amen and amen. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, God, for your love and unfailing grace that you show towards us. We thank you, God, for this journey of election preparation, and God, how you remind us to not lose focus or heart, but to continue to be your people and your laborers in your kingdom. So, Lord God, we thank you for the example that was set before us by your son, Jesus. And we thank you for his precious words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Thank you, and may God continue to bless you.